We certainly are grateful for the opportunity to return, that we might participate in our second worship service of the day. We are grateful for the way we have been led in our worship service thus far, and certainly your presence is appreciated. And in reality, your presence is also expected. Whenever we have the opportunity to assemble with the saints, we should take full advantage of it. We, as the family of God, have an opportunity each week to participate in a family reunion. When we come together on the first day of the week, it's really like a family reunion. We're all in the same family. The Jones family has participated annually in family reunions for 42 years. A lot of us attend, but some can't be reliably expected to attend. We'd like for them to attend, and we encourage them to attend, but some don't attend. But there are others who will not allow a family reunion opportunity to slip past them, and they will do their very best within their power to make sure that they are present when the family gathers together for the annual family reunion. That same kind of spirit should characterize those of us who are children of God. And I'm glad to see that you have gathered here this evening, that you might partake in this special family gathering. We talked to you about the dynamics of faith, or living by faith, this morning. We will continue and conclude this lesson this evening. I mentioned this morning that Brother Prowl's song, one of the songs he really loves, is Living by Faith. That's one of my favorites as well, because that in essence can be characterized as the motto of the Christian life. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never ashamed at the overcast skies, or I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know that He safely will carry me through. No matter what evils betide, why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. The chorus, living by faith. Yes, living by faith in Jesus above, in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. Yes, in His great love. From all harm safe, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm. His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. As Christians, as members of the body of Christ, the family of God, as followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can affirm constantly that we are blessed to live by faith. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be alarmed. Despite what opposing and adversarial conditions are that come against us as we strive to go about our daily lives, we are living by faith, and we are confidently relying upon the great God of glory. We look at the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, and allowed each letter in faith to represent a special message. First, we said, for all I take him. And then we elaborated on forsaking all I take him. As we continue this afternoon, faith, we emphasize, F-A-I-T-H can represent for all I trust him. And I immediately think of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, affirm his existence, affirm his sovereignty, affirm his power, affirm his omniscience, affirm his omnipotence, affirm his omnipresence each and every day of your life. Amen. When you realize that God is sovereign, that he is the ruler, he ruleth over everything. Amen. All of my worry is vain. Right. So in all, not some, not a few, but in all thy ways, each and every day, at home and at school, on the highways and byways, in the workplace and the marketplace, in all of thy ways, attest to the powerful presence of God in our lives. Acknowledge him, and not he might, or maybe, or possibly, but he shall direct thy path. But you have to have the prerequisite trust in order for that to take place. He will direct our paths. And how does he direct our paths? He directs our paths through his word. Amen. If we are unfamiliar with his word, we will have difficulties in seeking to navigate our way through this treacherous world of sin, suffering, and sorrow. But if we use God's word as our divine GPS system, we'll be able to successfully and safely navigate our way through the confusing paths and lanes of life. But oftentimes we don't want to rely upon God. We want to rely upon our own ideas, on our own thinking. We want to rely upon our own understanding. But he warns us in this passage, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble. Rely upon God. Trust him. Faith for all. I trust him. I appreciate the perspective of Job. I appreciate his confident reliance upon God. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. And Job sought to order his steps by the light of the Lord and the word of God. Amen. He's almost still trusting. Nothing is going to prevent me from trusting my God. I have so much confidence in him. I have so much faith in him. I rely on him to such a degree that even if he slays me, I'm going to still trust him. I think Job had an understanding of some of the special dynamics of faith. Notice what faith possesses. Faith already possesses in the present what God has promised for the future. Faith possesses the future glory in spite of the present gloom. Faith possesses the future mountaintop in spite of the present valley. Faith possesses the future joy in spite of the present sorrow. Faith possesses the future peace in spite of the present turmoil. Faith possesses the future blessings in spite of the present burdens. Faith possesses future wellness in spite of present sickness. Living by faith. We don't know what tomorrow might bring. Shadows, sunshine, or rain. But we can confidently move through life living by faith. Faith, in another sense, is the measure of accomplishment. It is the measure of your blessings. Faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of God. If you want a prayer answered, you've got to spend some faith. How do I know that? Well, because of what Jesus said in Matthew 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Ask and believe, and you shall receive. Ask in doubt, and you'll have to do without. Just that simple. Where are we going to get this faith? One place. We get this faith from the Word of God. Faith is rooted in the Word of God. Abraham's faith was. Isaac's faith was. Joseph's faith was. Noah's faith was. Moses' faith was. True faith, Bible faith, is rooted in the Word of God. We recognize and should appreciate the fact that faith is not figuring. Faith is not a feeling. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. The Bible is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. You'd better stop feeling and start believing. That is, base your decisions, base your choices on the word of God. Don't follow your feelings. Follow your faith. Follow the word of God. Get your cues from the word of God. You know, a lot of us, Solomon, have more confidence in our GPS units than we do in the word of God. You know, whatever that unit tells us, we'll follow it. Tell you to turn right. 7/10 of a mile. You're going to turn right. I was trying to find the other night the Lambert's house. I had my GPS on my phone. And Sharon said, she ain't telling you the right way to go. She don't know what she's talking about. No telling where we'll end up. But I said, well, since she's got us started, let's just stick with it. And so we stuck with it, and it took us around a circuitous route, around this way and that way, and finally, we made it. We relied on it. And sometimes when I'm driving someplace, I have headed for distant places. Tampa, Florida, before I'd ever gone to Tampa, I plugged in the address that I wanted. And I didn't have no better sense than to follow those directions. I could have ended up in tight britches, North Carolina. And my wife, when she gets a little disturbed, you know, she said, do she know where she's going? I said, well, she's supposed to. And we'll just follow the cues. We'll turn where she says turn. We'll go the way she says to go. And usually we end up at the proper destination. But now the GPS units can have you going around in circles. That happened to us going to Columbus, Mississippi not long ago. I don't know exactly what was wrong with it, but God is not going to have you going around needlessly in circles. He's not going to mislead you. He's not going to frustrate you as long as you're traveling by faith, as long as you're following divine directives. God will help you navigate your way to reach the intended destination. That's what living by faith is all about. For all, I trust him. I just place my life and entrust my life into the care of God. I believe he's going to deliver. I believe he's going to provide for me and protect me. I just don't have any better sense than to believe that. I remember, and I'm going to just make this brief. In 2009, November 30th, a Monday morning, my wife took me to the hospital for surgery that had been scheduled for me. They were going to remove a section of my colon about 13 or 14 inches long because that particular section, during a colonoscopy, they removed some precancerous polyps and my gastroenterologist recommended that I have that particular section from whence those polyps were taken removed. We consulted with the surgeon, my wife and my daughter and I. We consulted with the gastroenterologists. They recommended that we have that section of my colon removed. My wife and daughter agreed. And so we decided to move forward with it. So on November the 30th, Monday morning, 2009, I went, they got me ready, had me in the bed, and they were getting ready to take me back. And I had some wonderful God-believing supporters surrounding my bed. My wife was there. My daughter was there. My brother Abraham was there. My brother Willie was there. My brother Alex was there. My brother Benny was there. And before taking me back, they all stood around my bed. Abraham led us in prayer. And I felt confident that I was being entrusted into the wonderful care of a loving, compassionate, merciful, and powerful God. And I put the full weight of my trust upon his promises. I believed that things were going to be all right. I didn't know they would be all right. But by faith, I believed that they would be all right. And I was in the operating room for a number of hours. And then after that, I awakened in the recovery room, looked around, and saw that I was still blessed to be in the land of the living. And my family was patiently waiting in the designated waiting area. Then my precious wife, and you are precious. They came back. She came back. And some of the others came back to check on me. And I said, how long have I been in here? And they told me how many hours I had been in surgery. But I was living by faith. And I understood that it was possible that I not survive the surgery. But I had faith that God was with me regardless of what the outcome was. As Christians, we can afford to have that kind of faith. It stabilizes our nerves. It ameliorates our anxieties. It causes fear to dissipate into the atmosphere of nothingness because we are living by faith. And we can say, for all, I trust him. The dynamics of faith. That Thursday, the results came back from the biopsy, and I was discovered to have stage 4 colon cancer. My appendix was grotesquely enlarged behind or beyond recognition. When the surgeon first saw it, he was wondering, what is that? But he looked a little closer and discovered that it was my appendix. See, the appendix is attached to the bottom of the colon. And whenever you have cancer in the appendix, that's automatically colon cancer. And they determined that we were going to begin chemotherapy as soon as practical and as soon as feasible. And so January the 2nd, after I'd had a stent inserted in my chest, January the 1st, I began my regular chemotherapy treatments. And those were some challenging experiences. And I received those conventional chemotherapy treatments for 2 months. But I already had knowledge of Dr. Stephen Cantrell, who pioneered a new treatment protocol for various kinds of cancer. And to make a long story short, after the first 2 months, I transferred to Dr. Cantrell, and he began treating me in March of that year, and he continues to treat me till this day. And so far, things have gone well. Living by faith. For all I trust him. Living by faith. Finally, living by faith, F-A-I-T-H, for all I thank him. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 affirms that we should always, for all things, thank God. The Christian can follow this divine directive without fear or apprehension because his faith is invested in a God who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we are following the guidance of a God who affirms, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. So nothing ultimately defeating can happen to us because the victory has already been affirmed. God can use setbacks as setups for comebacks because he is the omnipotent God of glory. We can live by faith. For all, I thank him. Again, for all I take him, forsaking all, I take him. For all I trust him, for all I thank him. Will you invest your faith in this great God? Will you commit your life to him? If you're not a child of his as of yet, why not become one? Through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can do that now. He loved you enough. He loved me enough. He loved us enough that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins and for our sins because he's a God of love and a God of mercy. He wanted to see us saved. He did that for us. If you will believe this glorious gospel with all of your heart, if you will repent of your sins, sincerely turning away from that which is wrong, changing your mind and changing your behavior, and if you will confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God And if you will submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, the Lord will make you a part of his family. You will gain access into Christ, wherein are all spiritual blessings. So many of us, as were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have put on Christ. If you want all spiritual blessings, including salvation, including redemption, including forgiveness of your sins, you need to get in Christ. And that's the only way you can get in him, is through the agency of baptism. Can't praise your way into him. You can't pray your way into him. You can't beg your way into him. You can't dance your way into him. The only way you can gain entrance in Christ is through the agency of baptism. And you can arise from the baptismal pool, from that watery tomb, the liquid grave. You can arise to walk in the newness of life. And you can begin with a clean slate, moving onward and upward into the future, having a meaningful and peaceful relationship with Christ. If you are here and need to respond to this gospel call, we urge you to do it. If you're already a part of the family, if you've already been born into the family, but you have fallen by the wayside, through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be restored. Will you do what's necessary as we together stand and as we sing?
Sometime we'll stand before the judge.